Freedom House is raising a family of people dedicated to transforming lives. Join us on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays as the loving, liberating, and restoring Word of God is preached. Come and experience the love, liberty, and hope that Jesus Christ can give you. On Sundays at 10 a.m., Wednesdays at 6 p.m., and Fridays at 6 p.m. at Freedom House, 9 Factory Road, North Woolwich, London, E16 2EL. A place of heartfelt worship where lives are being transformed and captives set free. Join us at Freedom House today. For more information, call 440-207-474-0660. That's 440-207-474-0660. Visit freedomhouseuk.org or email admin@freedomhouseuk.org. Freedom House UK.
I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Acts of Apostles. As we share the word today from the book of Acts, chapter 12. If you are there, let's have an amen. Okay, I'm going to read. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. And that is telling you, Herod is harassing some. Herod the king is harassing some from the church. And who could that some be? Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jew, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he has arrested him, he put him in prison and deliver him to false court of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer, let someone say constant prayer. Constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying what? I can't hear the church. And his chains fell off his hand. Then the angel said to him, guard yourself and tie on your sandal. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him, and did not know that was what done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Bible said to me, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, they are like them that dream dreams. Bow down your head as we pray. Eternal Rock of Ages, we bless your name. That you are here, your presence is here. I will ridicule you if I ask you to come down because you are here already. I will limit you if I ask you to come down because I know you are here. Oh, because it's only the fool that says there is no God. The Lord is in this house, we magnify. Father, Lord God, as I share this word, I surrender myself under the tuition of Holy Spirit. I take authority over flesh and carnality. I ask you, Lord Almighty God, to speak through me. Release your word through me and let this word transform life and transform my situation too. Be elevated, O Lord my God. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church say a big amen. Praise the Lord. You can't be seated in the presence of the Most High God. I'm here today to share the word of God with you. It's my duty as a minister of God to point out to you some things that you are not aware of or probably you are aware of it, but you are not making use of it, or you think it's not actually important. The Bible says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. Ignorance as well is a sin. So I'm standing before you today to come and tell you that there are some things that is actually missing in the body of Christ, that is missing, even if it's not in the body of Christ, but it's actually missing in the life of a lot of believers. I want to minister to you today about the power of a praying church. I want to talk to you about the power of a praying church. This act of apostle is telling you and me that if a church pray, miracle does happen. I know you can pray by yourself, but when the church stand in the gap, miracle does happen. If you read from the beginning of Act of Apostle to the end of Act of Apostle, it was the scripture, the Bible passage that gave back to the church. It is the powerhouse of the church. This is the place where church was given back to. And you can see from this scripture that there is nothing that the church was able to do without prayer. I want the church to know that you can pray for yourself at home. You can pray by yourself anywhere. But I want you to know something, that there is great power and great deliverance in a praying church. Oh, there are a lot of churches, but I'm talking about a church that pray. We experience the mighty move of God. It's not because that a church is so spiritual, so unique, but there is a word of God, and the Bible said God is a God of his word. He said, wherever two or three people are gathered together in my name, there I'm going to be among them, and I will answer their prayer. So you have a grace when you are in between some people that are praying. There is a grace over your life when you come among the children of God, among a church, the gathering of people that pray. And don't tell me you pray by yourself. The Bible said to me in the book of Acts of Apostles that something marvelous happened when the church were praying. Great thing occurred to the member of that church just because the church were praying in one accord and in one mind. The scripture said to us that the church prayed, and when they pray, the Lord sent an earthquake to shake the foundation of the prison just because of prayer. If you are a Christian and you don't pray, you find it very difficult to pray, you are in trouble. What makes you to be a Christian? We have a lot of people that does not come to church, to a praying church, and even personally in your own house. Do you pray? You cannot pray by yourself and you find it difficult to come to the church to pray. Then what did you rely upon? What are you using? Prayer is what you need in every area of your life. Prayer is what you can use to transform your life. Prayer is what connects you to the Lord. Prayer is what you will use to have intimacy with your God. Prayer is what you use to communicate with your God. When you are not praying, you are not talking to God. When you don't have a relationship with God, you cannot get anything from God. If you have not been praying and you have some things, oh, it's just the grace. Listen to me. I didn't just come here to minister about prayer. I have a lot of things I can minister about. But the Spirit said to me, a lot of you are not praying. Look at me in the eyes. You are not praying. You are complaining about your situation, but you are not praying about your situation. A lot of you are complaining about the economy, but you are not praying about the economy. You are complaining about your spouse, but you have not prayed about your spouse. You are complaining about what you are going through in life. But how many times have you come to the presence of God and pray about what you are going through? Complaining is different from praying. Murmuring is different from praying. Talking to pastor about what you are going through is different from praying. Someone praying on your behalf is different from you praying. You've got to pray. You've got to have a conversation with your God. You've got to make sure you pray every day of your life. Without prayer, you cannot move on in life. Praise the Lord. My burden today is to challenge the church, is to challenge you as an individual to make sure that you are partaker of a praying church. You partake in the prayer that your church is praying. You don't come to church after they finish praying. You don't come to church only on Sunday, but you partake in prayer. Praise the name of the Lord. Listen to what happened in the book of Acts of Apostles that we just read. We find a church that was praying without ceasing. The scripture shows that the world and Herod the king is actually after Christians. Some of you, you know it, but you are doing as if you don't know that the enemy is after you. Enemy, they are after you. People are chasing you. People are attacking you in your dream, in your sleep. They never want you to start something and finish it. If Herod, the king, was after the church, who tell you that the enemy is not after you? They're after your career. They're after your marriage. They never want you to have happy home. They never want you and your husband to have peace of mind. They never want you to experience the glory of God in your life. The cause that you are doing, the enemy never want you to complete it. Or the business that you have, it is the mission and the plan of the enemy for you to close down. So if you know the enemy is waging war, what are you doing to attack the enemy? Or you think that type of prayer, that you just jump on the bed and just, oh God, thank you. It's the type of prayer the enemy fears. The church is, nowadays, we are too busy in chasing money. And you are not chasing the person that can give you money. You are chasing what I have, and you are not chasing me. How can you get what I have without you chasing me? The Bible said gold and silver belongs to God. The Bible said Herod the king was after the church. Some people in the church. Now look at it. Can that person be you or you or you or me that the enemy is after? Is enemy after your children? Is enemy after your family or your business? But the Bible said the church, the enemy is after them. But one thing he started to do, he killed James, the brother of John, with sword. And when the enemy attacked once like that, one thing that he does, if he sees that you are not worrying yourself, the kingdom of the devil, they jubilate. He said, go and attack her more. She's not serious. Go and attack her more. Go and do this. Go and do that. So the Bible said they were so happy. They were happy that yes, Herod is killing them. And because he can see that they were happy, he stretched his hand. And he took Peter. the head of the church. Some of you, you don't know that pastors as well can be attacked. Or when you rely on pastor to pray for you, pastor, the head of the church, the king, Aaron, stretch forth his hand and seize Peter and ask them to lock Peter out. He didn't just lock him up, they chained him down. When these things were happening, the Bible said to me, the church, they started to pray. One thing that wins the battle is prayer. Can I say that again? What wins the battle of your ex-girlfriend, ex-whoever that is attacking your life? Oh, is prayer. What wins the battle over the enemy that is waging war over your life is prayer. Not because you are strong. Not because I'm older. Not because you have PhD. Not because you have whatever degree. It is only prayer that can destroy the kingdom of the enemy. It's only when you pray. It's only when you pray. I've been reading through my scripture. I've been searching through the Bible. I saw a lot of people that their life changed forever. And it did not just change. It was through prayer. You don't want to do what you're supposed to do now, last in your life. If you don't pray, you will pray. The time is coming. Oh, you didn't hear what I said? The time comes when I see some people that are supposed to be at their retirement age and they're still sweeping the floor. You have to think, do they do what they're supposed to do at the early age of their life? Do they sow the seed that they meant to sow when they were young? Because the time of your retirement, you're supposed to be eating the fruit of the seeds that you sowed. If you look at your barn and there was no fruit there for you to eat, it means that you did not labor initially. It means you have not sowed the seed. You've got to sow the seed of prayer. You've got to do some things in your life that can bring transformation. Some of you, you haven't got anything at all. You haven't got any power. You haven't got anyone interceding for your life. And you believe that is how to live life. Listen to me. Every year people decree at the beginning of the year, that is the time you see people go to the house of God. They lift up their voice, 31st of December. They decree and decree and declare. They claim right, left, and center. They claim year 2000 and this and that is their year. They stamp their feet upon it and say they possess their possession. And every end of the year, they will still be the same position they are last year. Nothing in their life changed. Why? Because that was the only day they prayed. They never continue to pray. But one thing that you've got to know as Christian is that you've got to continue to pray without ceasing. What are you doing with your life? Where is your prayer life? Where is your weapon? There is a message I'm preparing for the revelation that God showed to me about a car that I shared with you last week. I don't just want to talk about it, but I really want to come out there and minister about it. A beautiful car that the engine has knocked out is useless. A brand new car that was parked, and this car is supposed to be, when you just click it like that, it's supposed to be going. But the engine has already knocked out, even though it's brand new. But one thing that this is saying to you is that people, they can see you physically, but some people, their destiny is dead. Some people, they are physical, you can see them. As they're in the house of God, they can't come to church. But spiritually, they are dead, completely dead. Nothing is operating in their life in the spiritual realm. Oh, let me say this to you. I sat down to this morning, I was praying, and the Lord was giving me some revelation about this message that I'm preparing for this car. And I said something to myself. A car, listen to me, can function if the body is dent and the engine is okay. It will still serve its purpose. But when the engine is knocked out, even if it's brand new, it can never serve its purpose. Oh, if somebody hit me by the side and I'm just dead physically, but there's something in me that is so powerful, that is working properly, eventually I will keep on going. I will get to destination. You didn't hear what I'm trying to say. Listen to what the Spirit was telling me about this car. That some of us, and I was saying, why would the Holy Spirit say to me, why would the car that is new be knocked out? It's because for a car, for an engine to keep operating, you've got to keep servicing the engine. Or you've got to service the engine. Your engine is your spiritual life. Your spiritual life have not been serviced for a long time. And you keep driving yourself. You keep going on. And you are believing in the grace. Or let me tell you one thing. If you put fuel in the car and you keep going from here to Manchester, or by the time you didn't stop halfway to fill your fuel, or if you keep driving, the car will knock out. You keep working on the grace that's upon you. And you never pray. And you never fast. And you never fuel your spiritual life. And you never empower yourself. Or if you keep driving a car, if you keep going with a car, and you did not put water in the car, you know what is going to happen anyway? The engine will keep going like that. The temperature will rise up. And before you know it, just crack down. Listen, the water that's supposed to be your life is the living water. Or some of you are lacking it. You don't even know who is called the living water. You don't even have the relationship with living water. You are not stopping by at the petrol station to fuel your car. You haven't even got what it takes to be able to purchase the living water. You haven't even got it. And those things can only be achieved with your prayer. Listen to me. Some of us in the house, we haven't got anything. What service your life is this word of God. If you are not being serviced, you are going to a knockout. What are you using to service your life? Where do you draw strength from? What empowers you? Who is your backbone? What do you have in your reserve? In case. What do you have? What is going on in your life? The same thing applies to us. Or that message, I think I'm going to leave it. Because the Lord was telling me, most of the time, husband, wife, we use our wife, we use our husband to the state that you never service that woman. You keep on using her until she breaks down. You keep on using that woman, whether she likes it or not. She's got to do what you've got to do. What time did you pause and take that woman service? And what time did you take to take that man and say, I've got to service this man today? Or you've got to take your man out for MOT. Or you've got to take your man out and do some proper MOT, some survey. Invest on that man. Invest on that woman. So that by the time you click in, it's going to click again. We are using our spiritual life like typical Africa. African will keep on driving the car. They never think of MOT or servicing this car. And some will go and do dodgy one to just make sure that they get insurance on this car. We were so concerned about the police stopping us, but we are not concerned about the car carrying you, your children, your wife, and your family. You don't care if the car is working well, if the car is okay, but we care about, at least, if I have this ceremony, if I have this, at least, if the police stop me, they know I have insurance, but the car was in service. Who is driving the car? Who is in the car? Is it the policeman? If any accident happens, the police will come, they won't take report. It's you and your family that is gone. Are you servicing your life? Are you servicing your marriage? Are you servicing your spiritual life? Are you even servicing your children? What do you use to service yourself? Are you even servicing your church? You all, what you want to do is to take. As long as that car keep pushing me, that is the word that we normally say. As long as this car keep taking me to where I'm going to, let me come back to you. Did you service yourself? You are working 24/7. You don't even have time to even talk to your God that is saving you. You don't even have time for yourself. We don't have time. You don't have time to go on holiday. A lot of us here, you decree and declare, God, give me my passport. Oh, give me this. If you get it, you cannot afford to go on holiday. You can't even take your children out. You don't even have the time to rest. If you make the money, if you knock out on the street there, somebody spend the money. Someone else will spend it. You've got to service your life. You've got to have a backup. You've got to have a church that is praying for you. Or you yourself as well, you've got to be in a church that is praying for you. The devil knows the trick of prayer. He knows how powerful prayer is. And that is the reason why he's trying to stop children of God from praying. He knows that when you pray, the story of your life will change. When you pray, whatever you need, God is going to give unto you. Because he said in the book of Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you. It's only what you didn't ask from God that God is not going to do. Don't tell me otherwise. I don't want to hear that I pray, but God have not answered me. The scriptures say, keep on praying. Pray until something happens in your life. You've got to keep on praying. The Bible said the church pray. Immediately the church start to pray. The Bible said when they pray, there was move of God. Peter was locked up in the prison. Peter was locked up in the prison. And the scripture said when the church started to pray, they pray and talk to God. The Bible said the foundation of the place started to shake. The Lord sent his angel to the prison. Just because the church was praying. What happened 2 weeks ago when we are praying for that sister to deliver the baby? What happened to her? Oh, she said, I've prayed by myself for 2 weeks. Oh, and I don't even think of calling you, pastor. When she just said that, oh, I know if I call you, they pray, something will happen. I present the case to the church. You, the church, you pray. The following week, I come here to testify that God does answer prayer. The same thing applies for the other woman as well. That we pray for, that they said, the baby is going to come just at 33 weeks. And this woman, her temperature was, the blood pressure was high up there. And they said, they're going to take the baby out. You pray, church. I go home on that Sunday. Called her, she said, the temperature has come down. Oh, we pray for a lot of people that are in bondage and in prison, just like Peter. When we pray, the door of the prison open. Listen to me. If you pray, miracle will happen in your life. Don't allow the devil to tell you not to pray. Oh, keep on praying. When you are on the street, keep on praying. When you are in your bathroom, keep on praying. Wherever you are, keep on praying. In your kitchen, keep on praying. In the midst of people around you, keep on opening your mouth. The Bible says when you pray, the Lord will bring back your captivity. Whatsoever that you have lost, the Lord will restore it back into your life. Who tells you that prayer cannot do things? There is power in your prayer. A praying church is a victorious church. A praying church is the deliverance church. A praying church is the church that will set captive free. A praying church is a church when you bring in a bondage, the devil is in trouble. Because when the church lay hand upon you, when the church pray for you, or there is nothing that you bring into the presence of God that you will take back home. Or you go to join a church that pray. If you attend a church that they don't know how to pray, you better change your church. If you have a church that cannot intercede for you, if you have a church, let me say this to you. I saw Obama picture where the ministers, the apostles and the bishop and the reverends were laying hand upon him. He stood in the middle. They were praying. And the picture read that this picture you will never stand in it. You don't see that. Some of you don't know that some people, they have the time that they have intimacy with God. They believe nothing can be done without God. You cannot get to the position of promotion without God. You cannot get high up there without God. That is the reason why you see some people that are not Christian, they will go and sought other power just to make sure that they got connected to God. But they can't get it. They go and search other, what do they call it? They read their palm to see something. They will go and see people, mega mist or whatever they call them. They will go and see because they believe you cannot get anywhere without God being involved in your life. Had it been they didn't pray for Obama, probably he would not have become the president. So if Obama believed that people need to pray for me, what happens to you? How many times have you come to the house of God and you kneel down and they lay hand upon you? Since when? Some of you are in this house. Since when have you come? Where are you? We have time of praying. Oh, that means there was a point in time in Obama's life that he stood at the midst of congregation and they prayed, which is not during the service, because we'll have seen the picture before then. It could have circulated all over. It was something that was intimate among the priest. He stood among them and said, pray for me. Who is praying for you? Who is your spiritual leader? The world has changed. People are waiting for their pastor to call them and pray for them. You are kidding yourself. You are deceiving yourself. You've got to go. People that are praying for you, you've got to be part of the praying church. Or you do it for 3 months and see what the Lord will do in your life. That you partake in a church prayer and you are praying for your intercessors are interceding. That is the word. Intercessor is going to intercede on your behalf and say, God, this person, you've got to bless her. And the Bible says, the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Oh, if you don't believe in the prayer of your church, stop going to that church. If you didn't believe in the prayer of your pastor, no matter who your pastor is, if you didn't believe in a prayer, stop going to that church. Some of you have got to make it point of duty. Let me talk to you as if I'm not your pastor. That you've got to find a way. If your pastor didn't call your pastor and say, pray for me. I just call you to pray. Oh, you just say, oh, pastor, I'm just saying hello. You know the next thing is she's going to pray for you. You've got to make a point of duty that your church is interceding for you. Somebody is praying for you. Oh, someone will text me every morning and say, good morning, mommy. I'm going to text back. It is well with your life. He's tapping anointing from there. There are ways you can tap anointing. There are ways you must reflect. Don't let me say this to you. You don't get too big and say your church needs you. That is the way the world has made church to be. They are begging people to come to the house of God. Oh, we can beg outsider. But you as a believer, you have to know whom you are serving. What makes you to think you cannot fast? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, the King of the King, the Lion, the Tribe of Judah, the one that came in the image of man, who is actually God himself. The Bible said to me, he fasted for 40 days. He fasted for 40 days. Who are you? Who are you? Why do you think you cannot fast? What makes you feel too big that, oh, I cannot do it? Don't do it now. When the time comes, you do it. When the time comes, you will do it. If you didn't pray, you will pray. Prayer is what you need in your life. Oh, some people pray. By the time the enemy has already dealt with them, they finish them completely. That is the time they wake up and start to pray. Ask me and ask my husband. I've known him for 22 years. Some of you, you think everybody, so that means everyone you meet in life, 20, now they are 20. You are not compatible. But you never sit down and think about it. That there are some forces that never want you to settle down. That you've got to take off the cloth of arrogance and put it somewhere. And put on the cloth of humility. And seek the face of the Most High God. And say, God, the time has come that you've got to change the story of my life. You've got to fast and pray. Let's go to the word of God. I want to show you something in the Bible. Matthew 17. Read from verse 20 for me. Let me tell you the story there. Jesus' disciples, they've always prayed for people. They deliver people. Look at me. They deliver up people. They pray, miracle happen. They pray, something happen. But this particular situation, they pray, nothing happened. Then they started to wonder that Jesus, why is it we are unable to do this? Why is it that this child, this demon is not coming out? Jesus said to them, it's about your faith. All what you need is a little faith. You need faith, but faith apart, put it apart. You need your faith. If you have faith like a mustard seed, this will be done. But how be it, this cannot be done without fasting and prayer. How be it? Now, even if you have faith, you've got to combine fasting and prayer together. Because there's demonic power that does not just go out with prayer. Oh, you didn't hear me? Listen. There's some people that have cold. Or whatsoever they can give them paracetamol, give them little thing. They said, don't worry to go, isn't it? But there's some, they know it's chronic. They start to put you on antibiotic. There's some, when they give you that, they give you another one. Then when they give it to you, when your doctor sees that it's not working, they do what? They refer you to hospital. There's some spiritual demon attacking some people. Even Jesus talked about it. That this cannot just go out. That alone is grace. Oh, that alone can protect you. But it seems you need more than that when you get to that interview place to get the job for you. It seems that you need more than that when you get there so that you can have favor. You need more than this. You actually need anointing over your life. And when you even get the job, you need more than that for you to be in that job. Because principalities will go with you. Because the enemy wants you to lose that job straight away. So that is the reason why Jesus is telling his disciples that, oh, I know you can do some little one. But this one, you've got to combine it with prayer and fasting. Now, what have you prayed for that need fasting? But McDonald's cannot let you do the fasting. What is it that you have in your life that need, that is actually a chronic satanic power that is waging war against you? Listen, some of you didn't know. You think that the problem that somebody is having, you compare yourself with a lot of people. If someone said to you, I'm not going to church, you sit at home. And if someone said to you, you are not, they are not fasting, then you believe that you as well, you don't have to fast. Oh, the problem from your father's side is more chronic than the one that she's facing. I don't have stepfather, stepmother, step whatever, but you've got two. And you, that person has not even got two. There's some people that have 10 stepmother. 10. When this one is waging war, that one is waging war. That one is waging war, that one is waging war. They combine their power over you alone. There's some of us like that.
You are comparing yourself with them. And you cannot, you didn't know that, you know what? Oh, I'm different from you. I've got to seek the face of the Lord. When you pray, miracle will happen in your life. Let me tell you, some people that are fasted in the Bible are not fasted and pray when other people were eating. The Bible said to me that everyone, they went to Shiloh and they were eating after a while. But Anna chose to pray and fast. Esther fasted as well. Why is it that you cannot fast? Everyone in the scripture that did impossible in their life, they fasted. You must fast. You must, no matter who you are. Not because your church is doing it. Now, talk less that your church is doing it. You are not disabled. You are not sick. You didn't have diabetes or whatever. You can't fast. What stops you from fasting? Is that your body is shaking? Rebuke that spirit of shaking. When you rebuke it, we as well, we are rebuking it for you. We are rebuking it. You rebuke the spirit that immediately you start the fasting, your belly will be going crampy and you can't even walk like that. When you take authority over it, it will go and sit down. Oh, you didn't know what I'm talking about. It's just time. It's just your determination. If you determine, you will do it. I'll be in. This does not go out except with fasting and prayer. What is that telling you? You cannot make it without fasting and prayer. You cannot get to your destination without fasting and prayer. You've got to put yourself together. You've got to make sure that you look at that food and say, you know what, sit down, I'll get there later. Fasting is seeking the face of God, dishing your food that to something that is more important than food. Is your career no more important than McDonald's? The McDonald's that didn't let you fast and pray is someone's destiny. Someone's purpose. Somebody gave back to that. So you cannot ditch that McDonald's to give back to your own purpose. Oh, you didn't hear what I said? When you feast on God more than something that is bigger than food, you know, this is about my life. You seek the face of God. That my life, my career is more than food. My destiny is more than food. Oh, some of you, you say, I cannot fast because at my workplace they give tea. When they bring the tea, tell tea to go and sit down. When you have breakthrough, you can drink as much as many cups of tea. Jabez fasted and seek the face of God and pray. The Bible said he was standard among his family. The same thing with Anna. The same thing with Esther. Esther was a child that was not meant to be in the place of glory. No father, no mother. But because she fasted, things that people said is impossible, the place of impossibility that no one can go into, just because she fasted, she was able to get into that place. Where is it that you have been finding impossible? Listen to me. When you are, even those of you that are doing this fasting and prayer, I want you to do it in a different way from the one you've been doing before. Do it in a different way. Do it in a different way. Take it further. Look at what you've never done before. That is what Esther did. That is what Anna did. What they've never done before. They did it and miracle happened in their life. What happened to Hezekiah? The Bible said, Isaiah went to him and said, you are going to die. He didn't just complain about it. Listen to me. A lot of us, we complain a lot about situation. You complain about your child. We complain about the choir. We complain about the instrumentalist. We complain about the usher. But let me say this to you. If the church will stop complaining and they start to pray, oh, there will be changes in the life of every individual. Complain does not change things. It's prayer that changes. Prayer does change things. Pray until something happens. Hezekiah didn't say it is the Lord that said it. If God wants to kill me, let him kill me. The Bible says he faced the wall and he started to pray. And the Lord sent back Isaiah to go and tell him, you are not going to die. The promises of God over your life needs prayer. God has given some of you words and said, this is what I'm going to do for you. This is what you are going to do. This is what's going to manifest in your life. You are sitting down there. Elijah prayed, even though God promised that it's going to be rain. But even though God promised that there will be rain, there was no rain. What is it that God has said to you that you are going to be in year 2000? Look at year 2009. This is May. Before we know it, we are doing Happy New Year. What changed in your life? Apart from the shoe that you bought. Apart from the new clothes. What changed in your status? Did your name change? Did your circumstances change? Did you change your flag? Did you change your car? Did you change your house? Did your relationship with God change? What changed? Before they say Happy New Year. Before you know it, time is going. You've got to do something. And it's time. You've got to support. You've got to be part of the prayer. Not by just asking you that something. Listen to me. Some of us, we cannot afford to leave our business. We cannot afford to leave our job. We cannot afford to leave our food, to pray, to fast. Immediately somebody just, you hear the smell of that. And the way it smells, the way the children biscuit look when you are fasting is like. And those are the biscuits you don't eat before. But because you are fasting, if you cheat and take the biscuit passing by, you just go like, you just keep eating it in your spirit and go like that, and you know. But listen to me, it's determination. When you are determined, you can do it. Oh, today is the third day, and thank God for Sunday. We break earlier on Sunday. If you haven't done it, we've done 3 days. We've done 3 days. Before you know it, it's going to be only one day left. So you've got to be part of this. Sacrifice yourself. Look at the way where you are coming from. 21 days is something that you've got to hold on to and say, whatever it takes, I'm going to make it. It's time for me to be part of that. I want to experience things and wonder in my life. And shoot, don't tell me that God does not answer prayer. You've got to keep on praying until you see miracle in your life. Oh, lots of testimony in the house. But when you join in, when the church is praying for you, kneel down, when the service is going on, nobody can ask you to stand up. God will send help to you. What God expects you to do for yourself, nobody will do it for you. I'm telling you, if you look at the scripture, a lot of people, they pray by themselves. The book of Matthew 6:16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like hypocrites. Yes. They will squeeze up their face. Oh, what's wrong with you? Hey, I'm fasting. Brother Smith, cup of tea. Oh, no, I'm fasting. Oh, Sister Yemi, oh, cup of tea. Oh, I'm fasting. Or you get to office and put your head down. Oh, you are not cheerful today. What's going on? They're doing 21 days fasting and prayer. When you are fasting, be ready and look good. Do the fasting with the glory of God. Put on your makeup, brush your hair, look nice. Keep on smiling. Even you've got to be bold enough that you go to your mate, your colleague at work. Anyone for tea here? You know you are fasting. You are not even taking it. You go and make the tea for them. Not that I say, hey, if I go near the tea, the kettle, that is it. If I should go near the kettle, hey, Otan, I'm going to eat all this food. Be bold. Or listen to me. I say, you can do it. Jesus said, when you fast, not if. There is difference between if you fast. When he was talking about prayer, then he got to a state that he said, when you fast. Jesus knows that we have to fast. That is why he said, when you fast. Not if you fast. When you fast. Anoint your head and wash your face. If my people that are called by my name can humble themselves. Fasting is humbling yourself. How many of you that knows that when you are fast, can't talk because you haven't even eaten? When people even want to talk, you just leave me alone. That is why they call the time that you humble yourself. You that have not even eaten 5 o'clock, someone call you and want to gossip. Won't you say, leave me? If my people that are called by my name, aren't you child of God?
The Bible says if you have been called by the name of God, if you have been called by the name of Freedom House, there's something they call unity. How can we say, God said, the church do fasting and you are standing now? That means when the blessing of Freedom House comes, you don't want to be part of it. You are not uniting with us. If you are not for us, that means you are against us. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. Even if you think you cannot do it, I don't want to say 12, at least 3 o'clock. Be part of the fasting. In unity, when the people come together, they pray. We know some of you, you walk and you cannot come to church. We know you can't come 6 to 7, but keep on doing your fasting. Some of you think, oh, if I'm fasting, can I drink water? If I'm fasting, can I move closer to my husband? Listen to me. I was saying to myself that it's only when your wife is fasting that your body will start to rise up. It's true. When I'm not talking about when, that is it. That, why would people think that it's during the fasting and prayer for just 21 days that you now think that is the time that, or if you are fasting, can you go to your wife? Can you cuddle and cuddle and cuddle? When there is no fasting, are you cuddling her? When there is no fasting, you turn your back. It's only when you are fasting, it's the devil that does not want her to fast. Does not want you to receive the blessing. Because when she's not fasting, when you are not fasting, you turn your back to each other. Why is it that when the fasting is going on, 3 days fasting, leave him, leave her. Let her be intimate with God. Fasting means when you ditch every other thing and you get closer to God. You are in a relationship with God. When you are feasting God, when you are not taking water, but you are taking the living water. When you are not eating bread or garri or rice, but you are eating the bread of life. That is fasting. When you ditch everything and you are intimate with God. So now you cannot be sharing the intimacy with God with any other person. You've got to leave that time for God. You've got to give your wife the time. You've got to give your husband the time to seek the face of God so it can be better for all of you and the children as well. Because when you fast, your children's children are going to benefit out of it. Come on. When you pray, don't get too posh. Don't do as if you don't know where we are coming from. We come from Africa, and you know there's some forces that came with you. They want you to come here empty-handed and go back home empty-handed. You've got to put yourself in fasting. You've got to pray and seek the face of God so you can achieve your purpose in life. If you are 40, if you are 35, if you are 50, you are going on, and you can't have anything to show up for it, or you are wasting your life. You've got to go back to basic. Let every one of us go back to basic. The basic is to kneel down, face the world, and talk to God. The basics that we see in the Bible, Jabez fasted, Anna fasted, Moses fasted, Esther fasted, all of them in the scripture, they fasted and they prayed. What stopped you from fasting? If the food that you have been eating will save you, why is it that you are not saved? Why is it that your life has not been transformed? Stop putting the blame on your church. Stop putting the blame on your pastor. Stop putting the blame on people around you. Come on, you've got to stand on your feet because your deliverance is in your hand. Oh, your deliverance is in your mouth. Or if you can seal your mouth with food and you can open your mouth to heaven, oh God, we open the windows of heaven and will answer your prayer. The Bible says Paul and Silas, they were in prison. They were in bondage. And one thing they start to do, they are not complaining about their pastor. This is Paul and Silas. They were not talking of Peter. But you are the head of the church. Why will we go in prison? Why will we go in jail? They did not say, God, but you choose me. Your anointing is upon my life. But I'm the pastor of the church. Why will I be in bondage? The Bible says when they get to prison, they were not murmuring. They are not complaining. They started to pray. They started to sing praise and worship. They devote their life to God. They are not looking at the situation or their circumstances. They know if they knock upon the door, God will hear from heaven. When they pray and pray, not just ordinary prayer, no prayer God give him an essential permit, a prayer that God is all about you. Oh, when they pray, the Bible said the foundation of the prison shook.
Freedom House is raising a family of people dedicated to transforming lives. Join us on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays as the loving, liberating, and restoring Word of God is preached. Come and experience the love, liberty, and hope that Jesus Christ can give you. On Sundays at 10 a.m., Wednesdays at 6 p.m., and Fridays at 6 p.m. at Freedom House, 9 Factory Road, North Woolwich, London, E16-2EL. A place of heartfelt worship where lives are being transformed and captives set free. Join us at Freedom House today. For more information, call 440-207-474-0660. That's 440-207-474-0660. Visit freedomhouseuk.org or email admin@freedomhouseuk.org. Freedom House UK.